Hello and welcome to Coffee Cup Tarot, a podcast about the storytelling aspect of tarot and developing an intuitive understanding to the messages they reveal. I'm your host, Marcella Cadill. You can follow me on Instagram at Coffee Cup Tarot Reader, or you can book a reading directly with me at www.coffeecuptarot.com. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get started. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Coffee Cup Tarot. I'm Marcella, and Aisha's with me, like every time. I don't know why I always say that. It's just like my go-to saying.
Yeah.
Like intro.
It's your catchphrase now.
And this is Aisha. Okay, so today we kind of had a request to talk about signs and just kind of chat about what we think about what a sign is.
Signs meaning like when something happens and you take it as a sign, not like a stop sign. Yeah.
I wonder if the battery situation this morning was a sign to like not do this.
No.
I don't know.
I don't think so. It didn't feel like a sign. It's just I need to be more prepared and have batteries at work.
I'm sure there is some meaning that you can take from it. Like, I feel like anything can be turned into a sign if you take it as a metaphor for a life lesson.
Yes. So, what do you think signs, like, what is the purpose of them?
I personally see signs as, well, I guess I believe that your external reality manifests as a mirror of your inner. So, the things that happen in your external are, like, metaphors, like, dream interpretation, kind of. Like, how, yeah, there are some, like, junk stuff in a dream, but it can be symbolic of other things. And, like, where you feel there is meaning in something, you can interpret it, like, you can interpret reality like a dream. I don't necessarily think signs are, like, pointing you in a specific direction. I think they're more to better understand where you are right now.
Interesting. I totally agree with the where you are right now. Because I think, for me, it's, like, it reveals the present moment. And it wants you to live in the now and make you fully mindful and aware of your surroundings and reveal what step you should take or not take. And it just, like, allows you to be super observant of the now, because the now is all that matters. Like, if you are worrying about the past and you have this story on repeat, or you're focusing on the future and you're super nervous, and, I mean, we've all been nervous about something, and your brain is so chaotic, and it's just kind of blurs everything, and, like, you know when you're in the shower and you're washing your, you don't even know what you're doing because you're thinking about other stuff. And then you're like, wow, I was in there for half an hour. Did I even wash my hair? I have no idea, because you're on autopilot and your life isn't meant to be lived on autopilot. So I think signs help ground us and show us that we need to be here. That kind of felt like I was somewhere else when I was speaking that. I don't know. Maybe I need to practice what I preach. Because I've been thinking about this for a while.
I mean, I definitely know people that will take everything as a sign, like, from the universe or from God or from some source outside of them that is pulling them in a specific direction or pushing them in a specific direction. But I also noticed that there's a level of confirmation bias in a lot of people that live that way, where they're hoping for a sign of something, so they will notice things that could be signs of things that they want to do. But I really like the interpretation that you just said about how it is really just to ground you in the present moment, because in that presence is the knowing of all that ever was and ever could be. So it's almost like you don't even need to know what's coming next. If you choose to ground yourself based on a sign that you see, then you are prepared for anything, and, like, the universe can just, you're in a state of allowing at that point.
Also, like, the whole grounding thing, like, we're pretty woo-woo. I hate that word, but it's also really nice to be grounded when we're always somewhere else, you know? So being in the present moment is definitely,
I mean, I also see that, like, signs and synchronicities kind of go hand in hand.
I wrote synchronicity as a sign. That was a note, and I was like, well, it's a little.
That seems like the most powerful sign to me, when something externally lines up perfectly with another internal or external lesson that I'm learning. And the feeling that comes along when that happens is, like, the feeling of being mind blown, I feel like.
It's almost like similar to manifesting.
Yeah, like when you're living in a moment that you know you've manifested.
It's like synchronicity. Yes,
I love that feeling. Yeah. So like anytime I see a sign, I'm like, okay, there's one sign. Let's keep going. Like, let's remember how I'm feeling right now. Because this is like the path that you follow, the feeling of that receiving a sign or feeling a synchronicity or manifesting something. It's all about that excitement.
So how do you decide what a sign is and what synchronicity is for yourself?
For myself, I really do choose to find the meaning in a lot of things.
I'm the opposite.
Recognizing that, like, there might not be, I'll fully admit, there might be no meaning to things. Like, I attribute meaning, but always in a way that serves my higher self, not my ego. A lot of times when I see a sign externally or a synchronicity, that's like my soul speaking. And so anything that my ego is trying to attribute to that sign, I just am like, it pulls me into awareness of like where I'm trying to manipulate the universe versus where I'm allowing the universe
work its magic.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, like, if I'm in a place of, like, I'll use it to my advantage in a way, like, to learn the lessons quicker, I'll extract meaning from things that might not have any. I'll sit outside and watch nature if I'm feeling chaotic in my mind, and then use the nature as a metaphor to create my own sign or meaning of things and extract the lesson.
Or even not even the lesson, but like the inspiration and the ideas that come to you when you're fully present and focusing on nature. Because I get a lot of good ideas when I'm just like blankly staring at something outside.
Yeah. For me personally, it usually is more about the lessons.
Interesting.
I'm constantly searching for themes day to day. Every day has a different theme, or every week has a different theme, and that's based on the lesson that I'm learning. So I tend to observe my environment to kind of contribute information to whatever that theme of my day or week or month.
Also, in like a previous conversation, you brought up setting intentions for signs. What kind of intentions would you set?
If there's a decision that I'm struggling with, do I do this? Do I do that? Is it for my highest good to do this? Or should I? Yeah. So the intention of that day is kind of like allowing the universe to bring me whatever sign in what direction. And I'm not saying that that's what the universe wants me to do. I'm saying that the sign that I get, it shows me more of where I'm at and what I really want. Because, you know, like, you can see two options, two paths in front of you. And there might be one that is obviously the better one, but for some reason your ego wants to go down the other path for one reason or another. And so it's like, it seems like it's a difficult decision, but then you realize at the end of the day, when a sign appears, you really do internally know which is the
right answer. It's like when you flip a coin and like, okay, am I gonna have Chinese or Mexican for dinner? And then you're like, A, or heads is Chinese and tails is Mexican, and you flip it and you're disappointed. Then you know, I mean, that's like,
you know what you
metaphor, I guess, but.
But that's it's exactly what I do.
So I read this book I've talked about before, E-Squared by Pam Grout. Did you ever read that? Oh, I love that book. So it's all about like experiments for you to see how powerful your mind is. For those of you who have not read it, but for real, it's like $3, just buy it. And she talks about like yellow butterflies, and that has stuck with me for I read that book 2 years ago, and I still feel like a yellow butterfly is my like number one sign. And then another experiment is to like ask for beige cars whenever you're driving around the road. And that was too easy. I'm like, I live in a city. Everybody has a freaking beige car. Not really, but once you put your mind to it, like I was like, okay, I want to see a pink bus. Literally 3 minutes later, a pink bus drove by, and I was like, what in the world? And then, so now my thing is purple cars or purple trucks with yellow writing. You would be shocked at how many purple trucks with yellow writing is out there. It's insane. I mean, it might not be something that anybody ever sees. It's just because my mind is like looking for these little manifesting signs.
Well, that's the whole thing with the confirmation bias. If your ego is the one that's looking for signs all over the place, it's going to find them to just confirm whatever you want it to say. So that's why you have to really be deeply honest with yourself about when you're...
Oh, yeah. To me, that's just like a fun... It's not like, I need to go this way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, it's just to show how powerful your mind can be. My sister did one where she wrote down, I think, 3 different random things, like objects or whatever, just from what her mind. And I did it too.
Like beach ball to copy or her. Whatever. Was that one of yours?
Yeah. I know one of mine was a pool table and one was like ping pong. That's what you're probably thinking of. Yeah, like just random things and then see how quickly they manifest in either conversations or things you're watching or things that you're doing, whatever. But it's super interesting because then you're kind of living your day with your eyes open for signs.
Exactly. So your eyes are open. So you're in the present moment. That's the connector.
Yes.
Yeah. I do think that, like, one way to tell if it's a sign or not is if, like you said earlier, if you wondered about a specific event or a choice you have to make or a question that you ask for a sign, and then say, like, you're walking down the road and this huge owl swoops by you, and if it just feels like, wow, that's a sign, like, that is a sign. Mm-hmm. But if you don't feel like there's magic in that moment, I don't think it is. Like, you have to feel the magic.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that the Reality Transurfing book kind of touches on that a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not, like, in Reality Transurfing, they say not everything's a sign, but you feel the magic moments when things are a sign for you specifically. I recently, when I was deciding on whether or not to go to take a road trip to Maine, literally right after I was thinking about going to Maine, I pulled into a parking lot and the car right next to me had an Acadia National Park, which is the exact place Acadian? In Maine that we're going, sticker on it.
Acadia. Okay, so apartment buildings just popped up down the road called Acadia Living.
Weird.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely going, so.
I was driving and I was like, Acadia? I've never even heard of this word. So I Googled it.
Why? Weird.
I had no idea.
You have no idea that that's where I'm going? See, like, synchronicity already in a podcast episode about synchronicity. I love it. It just reminds me how magical the universe is and how little we really know about it. I feel like signs and synchronicities do instantly make you question the bigger picture and, like, how could this have possibly happened?
Yeah, it makes me believe in string theory. Oh, so yesterday, I already told you about this, but I'll tell the folks at home. I was having a bad day 2 days ago shopping for work. And yay, by the way, I had some work. So, but anyway, so I was shopping and I was having a terrible day. And I wanted to just quit everything and just find a way to where we could do podcasts forever because this is so much more fun to me. But, like, shopping for work is, it used to be fun, and it was just a bad day. And I talked to Aisha about it, and she was like, that does not sound like a bad day. So.
Because nothing bad actually happened.
Yeah. Well, so, anyway, so I was at the store, and I was walking around, and literally this shirt, I didn't even see, like, I won't even look at those graphic t-shirts with words on them because you can't use them on commercials or TV because nobody wants to read words on an actor when they're trying to listen to what they're saying. So there's a shirt that popped out at me and it said, just wait, it gets better. And I needed that because I was so sad. I was like, why am I doing this? This is terrible. And then, like, after having the conversation with Aisha and then seeing that shirt, I was like, whoa, it does get better. So I was like, let me get through it. I can do it. It's going to be okay.
Well, also, one of the things that we talked about in that conversation was kind of like how the conversations that you have with people end up reflecting lessons back to you as well. So, like, you can take what comes up in conversation with somebody also as a sign or a lesson
if it resonates
in your own life, because it's, yeah, because things are a reflection. There's some aspect of yourself that's being reflected in every single person that you meet. So if you find what that is and you apply what your maybe instinctive judgment, or, like, I was specifically talking about the advice that you end up giving, you could choose to take the advice that you give to other people and assume that, like, they asked me that for a reason. That's a sign. I need to take my own advice.
That layer of self-awareness might not be immediately evident.
Yeah.
Even for you, I think you brought up that it was, like, a few weeks later that you realized, oh, that message I gave that person was actually for me.
Yeah.
This also feels like nihilism, where you're the only one that exists. Or is that solipsism?
Well, I am.
It's one of those, I don't know.
Nihilism is like the world's about to end, nothing matters,
solipsism.
Right?
So solipsism is like the one, you're the only thing that exists. You're the only real thing. And nothing else is there.
Which I think on some level is accurate. We can't get in anybody else's minds. We can only operate from our own. So we might as well assume it to be that way and treat everybody as if they are us.
Yeah. And this also reminds me of, I just finished that book, Playing with the Matrix, or Playing the Matrix by Mike Dooley, which I 100% recommend. It was so good. And he talks about, so you remember that theory of the egg where God is all and we are all God and we are all one that makes a whole? So he was talking about that idea and how his toe is not God, but God is not his toe, but his toe is God because we are all, I don't know, I gotta find that quote because it was so good. And it made so much sense. Like, I don't know how this is relevant.
No, I mean, I
can't connect my dots.
I see that. I see what you mean. Like, I do think that, like, all the entire universe, like the smallest atomic quantum particles, all of that is like the fabric of this concept of God. All that is, everything is a piece of that big puzzle. So, like, yeah, at the end of the day, we are all one. We are all reflections of the same thing. We just have, like, multiple different perspectives observing everything that's happening. So I think when you operate from that place, you end up being a better person, treating other people better, and feeling better.
Oh, you feel so much better when you trust in the process and trust in the signs and trust that you're going to get through it.
But I just think that the work of becoming present and also the work of acknowledging where it's your egoic mind conditioning thoughts, beliefs that have been programmed into you versus your higher self awareness that sometimes the thing that's best for you isn't always the thing that you want to do. Like, it's not always the easiest thing. And so there's, I don't know, there's just this, like, melding, I feel like, that has to happen between your subconscious and your conscious mind to be able to be honest with yourself and interpret reality in the best possible way. I just think that's so important when we talk about interpreting signs, because I do definitely see where people take signs.
Well, not only the signs, but they get them confused with superstitions. Like, Natalie is 100% against the ladder superstition. She will walk under a ladder because she's like, this is stupid. But I would not walk under a ladder, even though it's so silly and it's probably not a thing. But since I believe that it's a thing, then I should not walk under that ladder. Whereas she can totally whatever she wants to do because she doesn't have that belief attached.
Yeah, I think the choices of belief is like core to how reality manifests. I definitely think that our belief systems either limit us or empower us, and it's really important to kind of analyze why you believe what you believe and if that actually is serving you, because it is a choice.
And it's also a veil that you have that you can lift for more self-awareness. I'm pretty sure that's like a Deepak Chopra thing that he talks about. Like, if you say, oh, I'm shy, it's like, are you? Or are you just using that veil, and that are you just repeating that story to yourself when you can stop saying it, stop believing in it, and you can overcome and like get out of your comfort zone and become someone else?
Yeah, because you can tell yourself a completely different story. Like, yeah, okay, I might have chosen to be shy in circumstances up to this point, but I can be whoever I want. And so you do have to just really start telling yourself a different story about yourself if you feel limited by the one that you're telling now.
Exactly. If you feel limited, change the story. And like, what, even when you, I think it's in the one of the reality transurfing podcasts that I listen to, she talks about, Renee Garcia talks about the story of your life that you choose to tell people. Like, why would you tell people all of the struggles and the horrible things that happened to you? Because you're reliving those, like, your mind doesn't know when you're, because whenever something was traumatic and you're telling that story, your brain is, like, going through the same chemical experience as if you're actually reliving that moment. So why would you put your brain and your body through that tense and that pressure and the stress when you could just tell a different story and be like, I graduated from this college, you know, and not, like, go into detail, like, yeah. I was raped. Like, why? Don't. I mean, I don't want to say that, but you know what I mean?
Well, that I think it's a good exercise to write down all of the best things that have ever mm-hmm. happened to you. All of the highlight, like, the highlight reel of your life. Make a list of that, create that story, and that's the only one you should
instead of, like, and then on a smaller scale, I agree with what you said. And then on a smaller scale, I made Natalie do this, an accomplishment list instead of a to-do list, because she has accomplished mm-hmm. so much during the quarantine, and I was like, write down everything you've done, like, you should, and she had a whole, like, 2 pages worth of crap, and like, not crap, but, you know, like, 2 pages worth of mm-hmm. stuff that she's accomplished. And had she have written a to-do list, she would have felt overwhelmed and, like, she wasn't doing anything because you have a to-do list.
And not to say that, like, the shadow work and, like, therapy and all that stuff and, like, addressing and healing traumas isn't part of the journey of life, but it shouldn't be your identity.
It shouldn't be your identity.
Like, your identity should be all the other things, all the good stuff. But I, like, because I can see how some people would be like, well, that's not reality. That's, you're just, like, you having rose-colored glasses and only seeing, like, one side.
I've
like,
done those. No, I've done therapy and stuff. And this is a positive version to add on to what you're also working on with your shadow.
But, well, yeah, but it's also talking about what you're repeating to other people. You can do your shadow work, your therapy, all of that stuff with maybe one other person or very close people in your life. But you, like, when you start creating narratives that are stories that you repeat, that you just unconsciously talk about your trauma, you're not doing any service to mm-hmm. healing it. I think that's something that, like, a lot of people identify it with their traumas to the point where they're almost dissociated from it when they talk about it. So the emotion isn't attached, so the healing can't happen. So as much as you're telling everybody that that's your life and who you are, that's not a step to healing. Healing is creating a new vision for yourself at the same time as working through the emotions of what you've been through.
It's not dismissing what you went through. It's choosing to share the positives to feel better about all you've done also.
It's honestly, it's mm-hmm. balance. Because if you think about how many people are repeating the negative stuff all the time, because that's what, like, I don't know, emotional fuel, or, like, it makes people seem interesting. I don't know. People think that, like, oh, you need to understand my trauma or all the bad stuff about me to be able to understand me. But that's completely imbalanced. That's not actually who you are and it's not who you are the majority of the time.
It's not who you want to be. Like, you don't want to be attached to those negative feelings. And, like, you want to be able to heal from those things. Also, guys, we are not therapists. we're having a casual conversation.
Well, I am now.
You are. Yeah, you're right. Aisha is a licensed empath. I actually don't know what you're licensed in.
No.
But she's
emotional intelligence and empathy, consultation, like, coaching, that kind of stuff. So this is almost exactly the stuff that I'm working with people with, is identity and
I love that. Attachments. That makes me so happy because you helped me so much with myself. Since we met, I have, like, become a completely different person. And I like myself so much better. So, yeah, if you guys want coaching from Aisha, she is offering virtual coaching where I guess you would be talking about everything we talk about in our bonus episodes. But for the person specified, I love it. Oh, actually, I did have a question. Like, the colors of the, like, significant colors of the butterflies, like, do you buy into, like, this color means this and this color means that, or do you just...
I mean, sometimes if it strikes me in a way where I'm like, I'm gonna look up the if it feels like... I also think that, like, sometimes, well, for me, seeing butterflies, like, specifically black butterflies, reminds me of my friend that passed away, because that was, like, her thing, like, her like, one of her last posts had a black butterfly on it because she's seeing them everywhere. So it's, like, I do make associations with certain, like, signs attributed to people that have passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And those are more particular. Like, I wouldn't, if I saw a yellow one, I wouldn't think of her.
Yeah. But
when I see the black one, I follow that, so.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
Please post on our Instagram if you have any, like, questions or whatever, or episodes you want us to explore, because we like getting requests, I guess.
Yeah, it's fun.
Okay, peace.
Bye.